I'm having a feeling that sometimes you're a little bit sick and tired of the responsibility, right? But also, I have a feeling that that responsibility give you purpose.
We are here at the Hag Shack on Tecumseh Road. What's the address? I should write that down
It's
somewhere.
1185 Tecumseh Road East.
Right, we are here with the senior deacon of Windsor Lodge, Tibor. I never get this right.
Goydach.
Goydach. I should just give up trying. I always call you Rackus. Tibor Goydach and his wife, Katie Goydach, owner of the Hag Shack. And beautiful shop.
Thank you so much.
I bought a few things here, and they make terrific gifts. People love them. But first, I want to talk to Tibor about his Masonic journey, because that's how I know you. You're involved with Windsor Lodge. Tell me how you got involved in Masonry. I know you didn't join in Windsor. You joined in Toronto, I believe.
Yes.
But how you learned about Masonry, what your conceptions of it were, just how you got started in the craft.
It was interesting because I had a good friend of mine who was a Mason. I still a Mason, and I know he's a Mason, and he said this is a good organization, it's a good friendship and brotherhood and everything. But honestly, I didn't know too much about Masonry when I joined because nobody in my family was. So I'm a first one. And it was interesting because, okay, I go for the initiation and it was hard because my language skill is not that great. And the worshipful master was a Scottish guy with a heavy Scottish accent. So it's very hard to understand. And you know, the Mason language itself is kind of a unique, so it's the wording is not like everyday wording what they're using, so it was hard to follow him. And I did it in the end, everything was okay, I got initiated. Then I got a little book. Okay, so here is, you have to memorize this and this, but I have to memorize something I somehow didn't know. And this and this and that. Oh, that I was completely devastated. No way I can memorize anything like that. So I don't know what to do. And I started to read and read again and read again and read again, and I did it. And same things happened with the second and third degree. So I went all the way. And next year, because every year changing the master, I thought it's going to be easier. So what's happened is another heavy accent Scottish guy, some ex-master in the next year. But it's to me it was so amazing because through all my life I got so many criticism. People try to push you down everywhere in the workplaces. You work not that much because if you work more, you want to ask more money or whatever. And the Masonry was first time when the people supported me no matter what I did. I did some later on, I become officer as well, started at the beginning, and if I did some mistake, never criticize me. They always give me compliment. That was such a good feeling, you know, when you belong to the organization and the people try to lift you up, not push you down.
When you were first interested in joining and talked to your friend about joining, you were married at the time. So, Katie, this is interesting because I've yet to actually have a husband and wife on the podcast. You're the first ones doing it as a couple. But one thing I always wondered about, because I'm not married, I joined when I was single. When Tibor first came to you and said he was interested in joining Masonry, what did you think about Masonry? Did you have any preconceived notions?
Well, that didn't happen that way.
How did it happen?
Well, I'm a became priestess now, but when I was still working on my initiation, which took about 8 years, we belonged to a women's group called Sistrum. And I really enjoyed the fact that we did women's magic, that we had women's magic, women's rites of passages, and so forth and so forth. And I felt really terrible that the men did not have anything like that. So when I talked to Daniel Fallows about maybe ask Tibi to, you know, that whatever. Then Daniel said Tibi has to ask. So, and then Tibi asked. So I was very supportive of it, because everybody needs a brethren. Everybody needs a sisterhood. And women need other women, and men need other men in their magic. And I thought that's very, very important in a family, to be together, do everything together, but also have something which is mine and which is his, you know, and respect each other's space and secrecy if that was necessary, you know. So that was my idea in there.
So you joined in Toronto, and this is something I've talked to other Masons about, but I always think it's a really, really important thing to discuss. You know, you joined in Toronto, but then you moved to Windsor, and you affiliated with Windsor Lodge 403. What did it feel like, the affiliation process? Were you nervous joining a new lodge? Were you excited? I know you came in through Vraj, who... you know, a bit of a troublemaker, that guy. But you came in through Rage. So just what were your feelings about affiliating?
It was interesting how I come together with Rage, because it's I have a watch, still have it, and it was broke. And I really owned the watch, and I had to find somewhere who can fix it. So I got in the Google it and everything, and find one watchmaker who can fix watches, and called him. Yeah, he'll just come here. I went there, and he saw my ring, and he said, "I have a nice ring." So I know he's a brother. And I visited a couple of lodges, and actually I like any of them, every of them, but I didn't know which one, so didn't invite that to every other lodges, because just visited them, and I chose the one of three there.
Well, we're lucky to have you.
Yeah.
Now, for all the international people watching this, this is not a Windsor, Ontario accent that Tibor's got. Where are you from originally?
I'm Hungarian.
And
somehow I left the country in 1980. And so most of my life lived in the English country, because when we left the country, we went to Australia. Lived there 11 years. And in 1992, we moved to Canada. And ever since, I live here. I can't shake it off the accent, so it's still.
Did you ever come across Masonic lodges or Freemasonry in either Hungary or Australia?
No, in Australia, I didn't even know almost nothing about it. Maybe I heard the name, but nothing. As in Hungary, it's not. And now I know they said some in Hungary as well, but I didn't visit that Hungary for a long time now, so I don't know.
It's always interesting when people join, you know, Masonic lodges. Like my father, he grew up in England. His dad was a Mason, but he didn't join Masonry until he moved to Canada, met a nice Canadian girl, and there you go. But it's always interesting, you know. I know some brethren from, you know, Jamaica, from Africa, who didn't join until they came to Canada or the States, but then have had a chance to visit lodges when they return, which is always something I think is really interesting.
If I would return to Hungary for a visit or something, I would definitely like to do that. But now my parents is passed away, so I have some relative, but not that close. So we keep in touch in the Facebook. But
even Australia would be cool. I'd love to see a lodge in Australia. Though you wouldn't understand what they're saying with their crazy accents.
Oh, they're speaking beautiful English. They just don't open their mouth. That's all.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
My parents. Well, my mom lived in Australia for a little while before I came along.
Yeah.
So, what has your experience been like, Tibor, in Masonry? What are some of the highlights of your Masonic career so far?
That's in the brotherhood, man. People. I know, you know, they are not that business organization or anything like that. But I know if I need somebody from the another brethren, I know I can trust in them 100%. So that trust is definitely there. And the brotherhood, and as I said before, that is the supporting each other. Ari was amazed and they love even today that the support that they're having there. They were criticizing you, but that was true.
And Katie, what about you from the from your perspective? What have been some of the highlights for you as a wife of a prominent Mason?
A Mason? Well, I had numerous possibilities when we did meetings where women were invited in there, and I really liked the atmosphere. I realized on TB that he's so much more confident than he ever been before. TB had a lot of issues with confidence ever since he was a child. So I find him way more confident. He's incredibly hard on himself, always been, because he's a perfectionist. And so every time when he went from one point to another, he's always terrified, and he's probably the rare individual. He did all his tests almost faultless, and he was so terrified of not being able to speak clearly, that people are not going to understand him, or he's not going to be able to remember words. And he worked really, really, really hard on them. And when he went through, he went through with flying colors every single time, because he's a perfectionist. He's an honest man, you know, that as a worker, as a friend, as a husband, he's a loyal. His word means things. He doesn't say things which doesn't mean. And if he says something, he will jump through fire to achieve that, what he promises. And that's a very rare quality in a man.
Well, he has the access to the fire with his being a blacksmith. Do you do that in your garage, or do you have a kiln somewhere? I forget now.
I have it in the garage. Yeah, that's something I wish. So.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. I've had, you know, got to know Tibor the last few years. I'll ask you first, and I'll ask Tibor. Has he expressed any nerves about, you said he's hard on himself and nervous, any nerves about moving up the chairs? Because he's not that far from not that far from Worshipful Master.
Exactly. Oh, and every time I mention it, he says, oh, no, 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 no.
Yeah,
but you know what? Just between the two of us, he said exactly the same thing the first time, the second time, the third time, the fourth time. So... You know, so this, no, I just take it like, yeah, let's wait a little while.
Well, with this, with everything shut down right now, who knows when we'll get back to Lodge. But
yeah, I understand.
You'll be there soon enough. And
I think so.
What about you? How are you feeling as you progress the chairs? The East is getting closer and closer for you.
Yeah, it is. Still, that's a problem, you know, because my understanding and my pronunciation, my lack of the language skills, so kind of that is holding back, and the memory, and that's sometimes amazes me when it's seeing the like a junior warden lecture or something. It's just how the heck I memorize something like that, and people do it very well. I know, so it's not.
I've seen lots of Masons go through all the chairs, and the shittiest ones were had no problem with the English language, so don't worry about that. It's all about the effort you put in and the work that you do, and you do just like your wife said, right? And wives aren't going to lie, so she's just like she said, right? You put the effort and the time in, so you'll do great, I'm sure.
It's not just but as a character, you know, that a few years ago, Tibi belonged to a men's group, a pagan men's group, and they kind of following some of the Sumerian deities, and once a year they choose a sun king, right? And they had a sun king they had a lot of issues with, because he didn't show up for the meetings and stuff, and they choose Tibi. And his first meeting was exactly in the weekend when we did Kaleidoscope Gathering in the Algonquin Park. So from
Egonville.
In Egonville. in Pembroke, right? And that Saturday was his first meeting. So we drove 11 hours to the festival, and at Saturday morning, we left the festival and went to the meeting to St. Catharines, and drove back to Eganville to see me after the meetings. And the boys just couldn't believe it that the man drove more than 20 hours to fulfill his obligation as a Sun King, and I was very, very proud of him for that.
As that type of effort, right, that he puts in will serve him well in the coming years. So as you mentioned, next stop is Junior Warden, though. So any good recipes you want to share with us right now for your Junior Warden position?
I can't say anything.
We used to say you have to have a cookbook before you.
I think it's everybody. Maybe that's one of the most fearful position in the lodge, I believe so, and it's part of the reason because of the lecture what you have to memorize, and that is everybody is kind of not yet so because of the lecture. It's a long one and hard.
I think so too. I think the junior warden position is one of those that's when a lot of guys, some just started the choke point. That's when a lot of guys start to get really nervous because there's a lot more responsibility, and as a warden, you're doing a lot more work. But you'll do a terrific job. I've no doubt. So don't be too nervous about it. How do I put this? How important is it to have such a supportive family for Freemasonry? Because that's something I want to talk about as well. I've talked to a lot of. He's having you both here, a couple. I've got to talk to Katie a lot, and she's always very supportive of the Masonic Lodge and of Freemasonry. How important has that been in your Masonic journey, both in Toronto and here in Windsor?
Important for me?
Yeah,
it's very important because, as I said, this is, okay, one thing is like a public speaking. I read once is people more afraid of public speaking than from that. And in the mystery, you kind of force to public speaking. So, as Katie said before, that is, I'm much more self-confident and can open up and can talk better. And they say always, like a slogan for the mystery, there is make a good people better. And I feel that way too. And my daughter too is realized that I'm improving and a better person than I was before.
No, I can't finish this interview without talking about our location, the Hag Shack. Let's see if I can do a quick. Here we are, and I'll put up the contact information up front. Tell me about the Hag Shack, the services you guys provide. It's a really neat store. I love it. It's got so many interesting, unique things. Tell me about your store, what type of services you guys provide, how long you've been open, things like that.
Well, I've been a printer since 1970, and when I moved my printing shop, the other graphics printing group, into the neighbor unit, for some reason I just couldn't make it in Windsor, that it's very, very difficult for me to get printing work. And I'm an Odyssean priestess, which I studied for a long, long time for. And I kind of lost my spirituality a little bit, So we bought this building, so both units is ours. So the unit was empty. And I thought that I need to give back, what I was given. And so we opened a metaphysical weekend shop. We have a lot of magical products here. We sell consumables, of course, in oils, incense, herbs. We just started to sell herbs because Windsor hardly have any special herbs. So we have roughly about 150 different kind of herbs here. We have a lot of statuary for deities and uplifting things, a lot of jewelry, a lot of amulets and talismans. We also do classes and rituals once a month. We have Beacon Church of Canada Windsor Temple in within the Hack Shack. We have a temple space in the back. Now, because we have COVID, we had to rest that, so we are not teaching anything. We don't have rituals right now. But I have my Reiki 1 and Reiki 2, so I do Reiki here. I also studied reflexology. And so we're offering that. I'm a medium. I studied in a spiritualist environment for many years, in Lilydale and in Toronto, in two different spiritualist temples. So in mediumship, I did a lot of psychic fairs. So I do readings here and consultations as well, especially grief counseling. Within the temple, we do rites of passages. If everything gonna work out at Halloween or Samhain for us, the new year, I'm gonna do hand fasting here. So somebody gonna get married. They just have to get their paperwork in the town hall because I don't have the registration for yet. And but the hand fasting I'm gonna do for them. We have different kind of rites of passages here, which we provide to people who needs any kind of spiritual help.
And that's an interesting, you know, you bring an interesting perspective to Freemasonry. You know, you talked earlier in the interview about it was actually you who approached Tibor's friend about joining Freemasonry, mm-hmm. because you were involved with your sister, and you felt it important that there be a fraternity as well.
Mm-hmm.
I guess how does your experience as a priestess, experience with your sister, how does that affect your understanding of Freemasonry?
Oh, a lot. Well, in our tradition, we are, I'm not really sure about your rituals, because Tibi doesn't talk about those, but,
good job, Tibor.
But
good
my
job.
Understanding is, the creator of, or a recreator of Wicca, Gardiner was a Freemason. So when he created Wicca, he brought a lot of Freemason things into Wicca. So we celebrate in Northeast, we start our service in Northeast. So we are dealing with the elements as well, the deities, of course, we doing DSL when we're building things, Vidushin when we're taking things down. So we have a lot of, I'm not really sure, do you guys have temple stones? I'm not sure, because we have like a temple stone who's witnessing our rituals and remembering things. I'm not really sure what is
there.
But
yeah.
I know that there's a lot of collaboration between Freemasonry and Wicca because of Gerard Gardiner, who recreated Wicca. So, so I feel that there's a lot of interaction between the two, and also because it's old band and Freemasonry is somewhat old band, so we learned a lot about keeping the mouth shut. So
that's right, there's certain, you know, I always describe it as, you know, and a lot of people describe it as, it's not a secret society.
No,
it's a society with secrets.
Yeah.
Well, the way we explain it, why we are not talking about certain things, because we do not want to rob your experience from you. So, if you know what's happening, then you expect it, right? So, your experience would be interfered with, you know, instead of being organic and be your own emotions and your own feelings, you know. So certain things we don't talk about because we don't believe that you've grown up enough to or take away your experience from it, you know. So that is the reason.
Yeah, as Katie said before, we're doing every month normally, not now at the moment, unfortunately, but we're doing the free lecture over a different subject, and after we'll be doing the free ritual, so it's everybody can come in here. There's a public ritual, and not as I know any other tradition have public ritual. They don't do public, they're doing in a closed circle. And so that is that knowledge is so free for everyone. If somebody wanna get further, there is no problems. They can choose Katie or teacher and doing one on one, and it's coming to the point when it's coming to the woodbine. So depend on the
So basically, we in the public classes we do not teach Odban material, but because I'm the only priestess or Odissean priestess in Windsor, and our tradition is very much focusing on knowledge, I have to teach all the classes. So we have 52 classes which we follow before somebody could go further in their advancements. And those subjects include ceremonial magic, to stones, to herbs, to oils, to mythology, different cultures, comparative mythology, symbolism, ceremonial magic. So there's a lot of subjects which I studied and I teach because it's very important that the people who interested in this kind of subject, they know what they're getting themselves into, you know? So many traditions, they don't have that opportunity that you can taste something and you can walk away if this is not fitting with you, you know? Because usually other traditions already open you the first time you show up, right? For us, we believe that you need knowledge to have an understanding if this is the life you choose. And so you need knowledge for that this is what I want to follow or not, right? So we're not gonna force somebody into being Odban into something they have no idea what that is. You know what I mean? So that's what.
Oh. We talked about the products and services that the Hague Shack provides.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I want to mention, we talked about this for our Wednesday video, which will be coming out this coming Wednesday, but one product or one type of product that you guys provide is Tibor's work as a blacksmith,
mm-hmm.
Blades and decorative pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Tibor, tell me about that, about how you got involved with being a blacksmith, what it is you enjoy about it.
I'm a metal worker all in my life. I got my trade certificate as a metalworker in 1970. And as I said, that is when somebody invited me over to the reenactment, which again is a part of my product as well. I do it for the reenactment people, actually lots of Mason people in the reenactors world. And I really love to do it. I realize that is a being a metal worker is help, but it's quite different than a blacksmith. So it's a different way to form in the metal, and but I really love it. Maybe sounds kind of funny for the people who don't do those things. To me, that is so magical when you're hitting on a piece of crude metal and you hit it with a hammer and you form it. You form a different shape, you can do anything with that. You can make a knot on it, a piece of thick rod, or doing so many different things with it. So I just really love it. It's a harder way than I did before, and dirtier, but I just love it.
And the thing I think is so cool about it is, you know, it's one thing to go to a store and you know, purchase something made out of metal, like a chain store. But the fact is, those are all molds, right? So it's a whole bunch of things that have been made exactly the same way. If somebody comes to you with a custom order, it's going to be unique. It's its own piece of metal. It's not made from a mold. So you can take somebody's custom order and make it truly custom, truly unique to them.
And some people appreciate the effect I did it myself with my hand and not some in a factory with some actually different countries and just good with a machine and put it into the machine and bang, and that's finished. Because most of things is doing live exam.
And it's something else as well, because for me, for the Hack Shack, one of the most important tools Avikan can have is your Athami. Can you bring my Athami? I would like to show my Athami. It's on the table, I think. The Athami, the magical blade, is incredibly important for any Avikan person, right? And Tibi makes incredible Athamis. And you're going to cut this out, right?
No, it's fine.
So having your Athami made by a pagan man who understands and worships the elements, you know, you realize that every piece coming out of him is using fire to manipulate the metal. The metal is earth. He cools it in water and he dries it in air. And he's a pagan man with the soul of a pagan man, which means the pentagram right in there on every tool my husband makes, right? And that is very, very important, because the five elements, the four elements in spirit, is in every work he makes.
This is my,
you should
and
show
that
yours?
Is my very first and the ugliest knife I ever made. And later on, a little bit fixed it a bit better, but that is my first one, and I consecrated for me, so I still keep it. Now I can do something better, but
yeah, that's still, very nice.
That is still
the magical blade is very, very important for a lot of reasons, and this sort of thing we do not cut material with.
So
the Athami is never touches material. The Athami touches energy and works with energy. And it's an extension of the pagan man's hand. So when they draw, it's your hand in a point where the energy goes. And when you cast your circles or call your elements and so forth and so forth. So it's very, very important to have somebody creating your magical blade who actually understands the magic behind the process.
One thing I do want to mention, though, because, you know, for myself, I'm not, I'm not, I keep an open mind, I'm not involved with you know, the Wiccan religion or with paganism.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But even so, and neither are my friends, but even so, you know, I've been able to find a lot of really cool things in your store
mm-hmm.
that I purchased and purchased as gifts for friends of mine who also
mm-hmm.
aren't involved in with Wicca.
Well, it's not every product is religious, you know, that it doesn't have to be that way. It's pretty spiritual, though.
Absolutely. Well, you feel the spiritualness of the store, but, you know, the store has great products for everybody. It's such
mm-hmm.
a very cool,
mm-hmm.
very, very cool spot. And like I said, I've picked up some great gifts because they
Thank
just...
you.
If nothing else, they look absolutely beautiful, some of the pieces that you have. And
thank you so much.
We took some pictures. You mentioned the services you provide.
Mm-hmm.
You said you provide tarot cards and readings.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a bit about that.
Well, I started... Well, I've always had issues with dreams and spirits when I was younger. And I started to read tarot decks in 1986 after I miscarried. And that was the first time I asked myself, who am I and why am I here? Is there a higher purpose for my existence, right? And it just gone from there. That was in Australia, 1986. And we came to Canada, and soon after I joined the Psychic Society of Toronto. And within 2 years, I was lecturing in Psychic Society of Toronto. And then through them, I met a Spiritualist Temple of Britain Memorial when I studied with Reverend June Struthers for 2 years. And then I studied with Doreen Bald for 2 years, mediumship, how to communicate with spirit and that sort of thing. And then I studied in Lilydale for a couple of times in New York. And And after reading in psychic fairs, I met somebody who was a Wiccan, and she poisoned me.
And we studied together 4 years.
Kabbalah.
Kabbalah.
We studied Kabbalah for 4 years.
That was very, very interesting.
Oh, it changed our lives.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
If somebody wants a reading, is it walk-in? Should they call to make an appointment?
Well, I prefer that somebody make an appointment, you know, because I run the shop by myself. So it's nice if somebody sits in the front so I don't have to worry about somebody coming in. So Tibby comes in and helps me. So that's all.
How much do you normally charge for a...
For a reading, 65 plus tax.
For the tarot cards?
That's the same. Oh, because I do both. Okay. So I don't just play cards.
Would you do one for us, for me?
Do a reading for you?
Yeah.
Now?
Sure,
I just need to hold your hand.
Hold on 1 second.
I just want to put this on
there. Let me see. All right. I think we're good.
Okay. The first thing I got when I touched you, it feels to me that there's a little bit of blockage in your throat chakra. It feels to me that there is a situation where you are not communicating as you need to, as your heart would desire. I'm having a feeling that there is a situation in your environment right now when you're holding your tongue for something. You know, it feels to me that you see something not proper or properly done, and you would like to correct it, but I have a feeling that you're holding that because you do not want to cause trouble. Okay, so that's the feeling I'm getting. And it feels to me that this has to do with something you work at. Okay, so it feels to me that what you work at, I'm not talking about a job, but you work at something. Okay, so in the environment when there is that you're involved, right? So it feels to me, and also it's very interesting, it feels to me that you started something, but some other people should be involved or help or something, but I'm having a feeling that you've been left behind or you're just not getting the support what you need. Okay, so that's the feeling I'm getting, that talk was big, but action is not. You know what I mean? It feels to me that, that but when it comes to actually do something, it didn't happen that way. Okay, so that's the feeling I'm getting. Also, it's very interesting, you know, because I feel a little discomfort in my stomach, you know, that it feels to me that you have a very strong tendency to put your nerves into yourself. You swallow back your if something happens to you negative ways, you know, that you swallow it back into yourself. Understand that? So you're not releasing it, okay? But she's saying here that you need to open that and release it, you know, because you're harming yourself with that action, right? Because you swallow it back. You swallow it back, right? And it goes into your spiritual center. You
know
what I mean?
Who is she?
Oh, she's my spirit guide. Okay. It's very interesting, you know, that I'm having a feeling. Are you planning for going somewhere? Not now with the COVID, but in a plan. Okay, I'm talking about you're planning to going somewhere, to change something, to go somewhere. That's the feeling I'm getting. You know, it feels to me that you're being stopped of in some kind of plan, because I'm having a feeling that you wanted to do something last year. And I'm having a feeling that it's being kind of halted. Okay, something halted. It feels to me that you're being stopped of progressing, if that makes sense.
I'm definitely antsy. I miss traveling. I used to love to travel.
Oh, okay. So that's what it is. Yeah, because I'm having a feeling that you've being stopped. It feels to me that there's frustration here.
I definitely am tired of being home. Like, I used to love traveling. That's been the worst part about COVID. Just being able to go to Detroit, I miss that. And
yeah,
Chicago.
We go stir crazy. Yeah. I mean, that's an honest truth, you know. But for some reason, I have a feeling that are you communicating with other Masons when you travel, or do you visit other Masonry? Okay. So that's a major part of it, you're visiting other Mason lodges, right?
Oh, yeah. Whenever I travel, I visit.
Okay. Because I feel very good with it, because that's rejuvenates you. You know what I mean? So when you meet new people and you see that the craft is strong and it's working well, you know, that it gives you satisfaction. So it's very, very important. And right now I feel frustration, you know, I feel like I'm being caged, you know, so that's, but everybody feels that way. So it's not super science, right?
Do you sense anything about the future of the craft, about where it's going to go, or my future in Masonry?
Well, I'm having a feeling that you're in a perpetual environment. I'm having a feeling that sometimes you're a little bit sick and tired of the responsibility, right? But also, I have a feeling that that responsibility give you purpose. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like a two-sided sword in a way. That one way I'm tired, you know, and I don't want the responsibility. I don't want people to call me and ask me questions and take care of them, right? But on another hand, you feel worthy and you feel strong and you feel wanted and you feel your purpose. And you know that when you do masonry work, you're actually bringing people up. You're bringing people up. You're not pushing people down. And that is your purpose, you know, to allow people to find their own potential, you know, and help them to find their own potential, you know. So I think it's disability give you an incredible amount of strength. And even though it feels to me that sometimes it feels sadness within myself, you know, that when I'm focusing on disability, But I have a feeling that it made you so much stronger as a human. You know what I mean? Because when you look at somebody, you don't see their shortcomings. You see their strengths, and you're applying that to that strength to bring that up and make it stronger. You know what I mean? And because we don't have to be visibly disabled, right? But most of us are terribly, terribly disabled within ourselves, in our souls, you know, that depression and mental illness and so forth, which is not visible, but it's still there, you know. And those people need to be picked up and uplifted, you know, and help to find their potentials. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm getting with you, you know, in personality wise. So I have a feeling that Masonry changed your life, you know, because you become responsible for not just for yourself, but for a whole organization and a bunch of people too, you know. And I think I like it a lot, because when I see you circling in certain places, I see the smiles people give you. I see the looks people give you, the happiness that you're there. You know what I mean? And that's very important, because it means that your work was acknowledged and accepted and loved and cherished, you know. And that's very, very important for any human being. So personality wise, this is what I feel with you.
Do you, I don't know if they would latch on to me at all, but do you, you mentioned spirits. Do you sense any spirits at or from the Windsor Masonic Temple?
I think there is a lot of spirits in the temple. That building has a lot of energy. Okay. And I find it very, very interesting, you know, that old Masons walking the lodge. I mean, they do, you know, that it's been their home, and they're going to visit no matter what, you know, and that's absolutely normal for a spirit to visit, but when they were happy.
Yeah, we've had some ghost investigations at the temple, so mm-hmm. I'll put a link to that in the video.
Mm.
Thank you so much.
Oh,
this
you're
is
quite
very,
welcome.
Very cool.
Thank you.
And so anybody who's watching this, if you've often thought about getting a psychic reading, I promise you it was painless, well worth the cost, because it's very cool. And it's always nice to have somebody talk to you about what's going on. And so thank you so much for that.
You're quite welcome.
And
you're quite welcome.
We're going to be finishing this off interview. Tibor, you are the Mason I came here to interview. So anything you wanna say, anything you wanna to end with? I know you've got your Markham Union shirt on. Anything?
Yeah.
Do you still get to see your brothers from Markham Union at all now that you're down in Windsor?
I keep in touch with them because
nice.
I have it on their side, so I know what's happening in the Markham Union Lodge, and I sometimes I'd rather do what's happening with me, so we keep in touch with them.
So in the Hack Shack we have some books, reference books, not a lot. We have some altars here for the gods. We are selling different kind of herbs, which I portioned out of in this section. We have different kind of oils. We have some black mirrors in here, custom made, engraved. Then we have some oil burners right there. We have an ancestor altar right in here. We have some smudge and sage. We have, we also carry the stones, different kind of stones in the shop. We carry a lot of jewelry. Aphrodite is right there. Special candles, which created by the Hack Shack for different spiritual meanings. We have some Papa Legba heads right there, candles, and some hats. A lot of chalices and cups. There's some jewelry. Lots of stones. Turbals. Then we have the gods, different kind of deities. Then we have the angels. Crystal balls. Spiritual baths. We have drinking horns with bees waxed already, ready to go. And horn cups. And some more jewelry and stones. Boxes. We have tarot cards. Incense. Different statuary incense. The crystal bottles, beautiful lamps from Nemesis Now. And we have Harry Potter wands. And some boxes and spiritual journals.